Republicans in Wisconsin are once again trying to amend the state constitution, this time with laws related to voting just ahead of the 2024 election. It's Wednesday, October 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show here today, race may no longer be considered in college scholarships, grants, or loans if a GOP-backed bill is passed. And a major artery for transporting cargo between the Great Lakes and overseas ports has shut down. This could have a huge impact on Wisconsin farmers. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
Wisconsin's voter ID law would become enshrined in the state constitution under a Republican proposal in the legislature. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the plan is aimed at preempting a potential court challenge to the law.
The law that says that every Wisconsin voter must produce photo ID was passed in 2011, but it faced years of court challenges before going into effect. With a new liberal majority on the state Supreme Court, Republican Senator Van Wongard says he's concerned a new challenge is imminent.
I cannot say for certain how the Wisconsin Supreme Court would rule on voter ID laws, but I'm also not willing to risk the Wisconsin Supreme Court declaring voter ID laws unconstitutional.
Critics say these types of requirements depress turnout, especially among certain groups more likely to vote Democratic. The resolution would need to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature and be approved by voters statewide to take effect. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin Republicans introduced a bill on Monday to end consideration of race in college scholarships, grants, and loans. Financial aid and other programs that take race into account would instead be directed to any disadvantaged students. The bill says race, ethnicity, and national origin may not be considered when determining whether a student is disadvantaged. Senator Eric Wemberger, a Republican from Green Bay who's sponsoring the bill, says programs based on characteristics like race make assumptions about life experiences that may not be true.
You reinforce stereotypes onto people by taking those things into account. So if we're ever going to move past that in a society, we need to do things like we're doing here.
The bill comes after the U.S. Supreme Court effectively eliminated race-based admissions for colleges and universities earlier this year. A spokesperson for Democratic Governor Tony Evers has signaled that he would likely veto the legislation. A labor strike has shut down a major artery for transporting cargo between the Great Lakes and overseas ports. It's the first strike-related closure in the middle of the shipping season in more than half a century. Hundreds of workers went on strike Sunday on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway due to failed talks over wage increases. Seaway officials have said more than 100 vessels are waiting to enter the system. Steve Fisher with the American Great Lakes Ports Association says the Seaway and Port of Duluth Superior typically handle a lot of grain this time of year.
The farm organizations, the co-ops, and the agricultural export organizations are going to have to figure out other ways to export that grain. That's going to impact Wisconsin farmers.
Seaway officials have estimated a mid-season shutdown could cost $50 to $80 million per day for the two nations' economies. State officials say Wisconsin's economy is strong, thanks in large part to its workforce. But as Joe Schultz reports, child care availability hampers economic progress.
At a summit in Appleton this week, officials expressed optimism about Wisconsin's economy. John Koskinen is the chief economist for the State Department of Revenue. He says 85% of Wisconsinites between 25 and 54 are engaged in the workforce. He also says the state is now the second lowest in terms of overall poverty. Koskinen believes the state's women are what give it an economic edge.
Women are more engaged in the workforce in this state than the rest of the country as a whole.
He says 75% of families with children have both parents working. But Koskinen also says child care availability has been a drag on the workforce, leading to a decline in married women's labor force participation. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Halloween is right around the corner, and that means it's scary movie season. Soon we'll hear about a Wisconsin man who made his mark on the horror film world. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. And just in time for scary movie season, here's producer Maureen McCullum, remembering a horror and sci-fi filmmaker who passed away at age 100 this year.
Kenosha native and monster movie director Burt I. Gordon brought the world the legendary likes of The Amazing Colossal Man and Attack of the Puppet People. He worked with Orson Welles and dozens of other stars in a sci-fi and horror film career that stretched 7 decades. Andy Turner looks back on the life and career of the man they called Mr. Big.
Everything's going to be all right. I know it is. The doctors are working night and day to find a cure. They feel that if they can stop your growth, they may be able to bring you back to normal.
You don't really believe that? They'll never find a cure for me.
Decades before director Burt I. Gordon created the cult classic Amazing Colossal Man, he was spending his youth in Kenosha movie theaters, watching the latest horror, gangster, and western flicks. But watching just wasn't enough. In his 2009 autobiography, he wrote about becoming acquainted with theater employees, who showed him how to work the projector and splice film. He even befriended the vaudeville stars that one theater booked, learning about their life and secrets. Gordon ended up at the University of Wisconsin, where he made campus newsreels that ran in Madison's downtown theaters. From UW, he moved on to the Army Air Corps, followed by jobs making commercials and documentaries. But with the love of movies and oddities still pounding in his heart and head, he decided he would try his luck in Hollywood.
Many of the mysteries of this vast ocean of space would soon be solved. It would be a race between countries to see which one would be the first to bring our civilization to another planet in space.
Gordon stayed busy in the 1950s and 60s, cranking out creature features of all sorts, like King Dinosaur. Most of his movies featured unnaturally giant beasts, hence his nickname Mr. Big, also his initials. For daughter Patricia Gordon, her father's tenacity, personal touches, and especially his dedication to being a filmmaker are worthy of admiration. Gordon frequently wrote, edited, orchestrated special effects, and more on his movies. Like in 1958's Attack of the Puppet People.
But the loss of love has made this mild-mannered man into a maniac. A maniac who wants to make you a plaything. And the fearsome fact is, he knows how to do it.
The thing about Attack of the Puppet People, and I would cry every time I'd see it, spoiler alert, at the end when Franz says, "Don't leave me, I'll be alone," it reminded me of my dad, because he hated being alone.
The opening credits from Puppet People depict Gordon's real family as marionettes. Marionettes from the movie would remain around the family home for years. In 1972, Burt Gordon connected with another famous filmmaker from Kenosha, Orson Welles. Welles starred in Gordon's Necromancy as Mr. Cato, the head of a witch's coven.
Enter the occult world of necromancy. You were brought here for one purpose, necromancy.
A ceremony dating back to the pre-Christian era. It's the art of reviving the dead. It requires involvement with evil spirits.
A photograph from the set shows them smiling at each other. Patricia says it was a highlight of her father's career. Her father was good at handling famous people, she says, and had no problems with the famously individualistic actor and director. Patricia says her dad was always proud of being from Kenosha.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have even heard of Kenosha, and it shaped him as a man, you know.
She has been touched by the attention her father's death received and the love from fans.
I appreciate every single fan and every single person who liked even 1 minute of his films, because That's what he did it for. He did it for the audience and himself. I mean, he loved making it.
Andy Turner brought us that story on movie director Burt I. Gordon. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
What an interesting little tie between Halloween and Wisconsin. Everything always does lead back to Wisconsin, doesn't it? And by the way, Halloween less than a week away, so make sure you get that candy if you haven't already. That'll do it for today's show. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right back here in your podcast feed tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.